You're listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
I'm glad you explained the Zima thing, too.
Yeah,
I still don't necessarily understand it, but I love it.
So because it's like the most hipster, like weird douchey drink I could think of is like Zima. You want a Zima? Anybody want a Zima? Not that you're douchey, but you're a hipstery guy.
Yes.
And so we were playing up the stereotype.
No, listen,
But I'm not saying it for your benefit. I'm saying it for the listener's benefit. I don't want people sitting there listening to our podcast going, wow, that Joe's really a dick to Joel.
Well, listen, I think the podcasts speak for themselves. I think your true emotions and personality shine through, for better or for worse, Joe.
Because I love you. I love you.
I love you, too.
And I'm glad you're back.
Hell, thanks, man.
Not that I didn't have a good time recording with Luke.
That was
a great
episode.
It was a fun episode. It was fun to go
I
back.
Learned something.
Fun, maybe not the best word.
Very cathartic, man.
But it was.
I didn't know some of those stories, because I've only seen, Jeff, like you, I've only seen like a hand... handful,
a thimbleful, maybe.
Yeah. I saw the pilot, and then I saw the second one, and then I skipped around too, and I was like, "Oh, let's see where this goes." And you're nowhere to be seen in that third season.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh shit, I gotta back up here."
Uh huh.
You're like Han Solo. You're like,
I got
we lost you
in
somewhere in episode two, season two for that.
It was a hell of an experience, and it was nice to give Luke a chance to talk about it.
Yeah,
because
man.
He never really got a chance to talk about it. He never got a chance to do the commentary track on our DVD.
I heard about that. That's bullshit, dude.
It is. It's bullshit. And you know what? That's partially my call. I could have probably done something about that, but at the time, I wasn't prepared. I didn't want to fight for it.
Well, listen, and you know at this point, too, like when to cut ties, when to sever, when to move on, when, you know, and now I see why you're so
protective. As Kenny Rogers
said,
when to hold them, when to fold them.
That's right. A wise man.
And it's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. But you do see, like, I do
every
once in a while.
You're like a jilted lover.
Yes.
You've been burned too many times, and you're like, I can't get hurt again.
I don't know if I can love again, Joe.
How do I love you with these?
But I do love you with these, and I've got my hand. With
all
wide
cock
open.
He's
by cocky means my rooster.
He's waving his balls at me.
Okay, that was my rooster sound. Okay, no. So I am so happy that you're back.
Yay.
And immediately you're like, all right, let's get into it. Let's talk about some movies. I was like, cool, Joe. What do you want to watch? And he comes back with, I want to watch this movie where Kelsey Grammer is a sub-pilot.
Well, here's the problem.
Or captain, or whatever the fuck they are.
Here's the problem. The last couple episodes we did, because what did we do? We did Big Trouble in Little China, and before that it was Hansel and Gretel.
Hansel and Gretel.
We love the hell out of Hansel and Gretel, and I surprisingly like Big Trouble in Little China more than I thought I would.
Uh-huh.
So I felt like we had to get back to digging deep and finding the drugs.
Get back to the roots of the editing bay here on the Next Wave Radio Network. My name's Joe.
And I'm Joel.
And we are going to talk about Down Periscope. Oh, my God. From the director of both Major League 1 and 2.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize that guy's name, and I was like, all right.
I would have sworn the way this film plays out and with like the score and everything, I would have sworn it was directed by the same guy who did Billy Madison.
Ooh,
it had such a Billy Madison feel to it, but that was like... we're talking 1996 was when this movie came out.
Yeah.
This was the age of the screwball comedy that wanted to be Animal House. It wanted to be a TNA comedy, but it was PG-13.
I know. It was like the Porky's for a new generation.
Exactly.
But without the things you liked about Porky's.
What was going on with Kelsey Grammer in 96 that like got him? When did Frasier start?
Frasier, that must have been like early 90s, right? Because Cheers went off the air, 89 maybe?
Yeah.
And then immediately Frasier was like up and then on for 11 seasons.
Okay. All right. So this was definitely while Frasier was going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, can you imagine him getting this part otherwise? Or them building this movie around Kelsey Grammer?
For some reason, I thought Frasier was like 2004 or 2005. Like, I thought that was when it was in its peak.
I don't know that he made it that far.
It may not have made it that far. I have no idea.
Yeah. No, I think it was off the air, maybe early aughts.
So this was, it's so funny when you watch this movie, though, because you're like, damn, this is the 90s. The score, Randy Edelman doing the score. The guy who does half of the Olympic music you hear. Whenever the Olympics come around,
that's true.
Half of that shit is scored by Randy Edelman.
You've probably heard his music more in movie trailers than you actually have in movies.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of those guys. What was it, the Bruce Lee story?
Yeah, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
It's
da-na-na, da-na-na.
Also starring Lauren Holly. Great score.
And he also did the theme song to Briscoe County Jr., which you've heard in the Olympics.
That's right. I will pick this.
And you know what? You can't find that anywhere. Like I tried to find that song when the TV show was out, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Now it's like on the Olympics. I'm like, shit, I have to be able to find that somewhere. So
also before the internet, where you could easily. A little quick story about Dragon the Bruce Lee movie and that. Was it Dragon the Bruce Lee?
Dragon the Bruce Lee story.
And the that score. I love that score. Heard it in movie trailers. Could never track it down. Didn't know what it was from.
They used it for Forrest Gump for the Forrest Gump.
They used
Gump
it for every fucking movie trailer between 1992 and 1998.
Yeah.
But how are you going to look it up without the internet? There's no way. There's no.
Well, there was AOL at the time. Like you could access an AOL account. And chat with people.
Chat with people.
But there was no Google.
I gotta get on some CD chat room, and this guy's trying to pick me up.
Or it's a
Chris
dude
Hansen
posing
style.
As a chick.
God forbid.
We did that
it's my
before.
Nightmare.
We did that when I was
you
in high school.
Chicks?
We went over to my buddy Daniel's house.
Oh, no.
And we
Jeff is shaking his head over here. He knows too much about this story.
It was me, my buddy Daniel, Jonathan. I can't remember if Ralph was there or not, but we sat there at this computer. We're eating chips and queso and just, you know, drinking, sipping a little bit of beer, sneaking some of Daniel's dad's beer. And we get on this chat board on AOL, and like some dude comes on. He's like, ASL, age, sex, location.
Yeah, yeah.
For the
taking
listener.
Me back.
And so so we start like talking to him, and we start acting like we're a chick. And like he's like, oh yeah, you sound hot. I can't wait to see you. And we're like, we're five guys, man. We're just hanging out in a chat room. He's like, that's cool. I was like, well, that suddenly turned around on us really fucking fast.
I could be into that.
Suddenly we felt like we were not the ones that were in on the joke.
Send me your address.
I know, right?
I feel like that was 90% of the internet traffic back then, by the way. It was people in chat rooms trying to figure out what gender they were.
And I feel like it was 90% of movies in the 90s that featured Lauren Holly. Like, that's like indicative of a film in the 90s.
Nice
it was Lauren Holly.
Yeah.
That was when her career was at its best.
Did she never get her due, or is she just not all that great and people realized it?
I don't think she's all that great and people realize it. Like, didn't she find life on like one of those SVU shows or Law and Order?
Did that. I thought you were going to say like Lifetime Channel. Like, I feel like she's in, you know, Jenny Eat Something.
Some Meredith Baxter Burney.
Battered Wife Syndrome sort of made for TV movie.
How do they? I just don't know how that network stays alive with some of those. Well, they do. They have like original programming now, too.
I was going to say, if you don't work, if you don't have a Monday through Friday 8-to-5 job, you realize there's a lot of fucking shit on TV.
There's so much TV.
Daytime TV is awful. It is a barren desert. Sorry, all those people who are listening to me at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday right now. I'm like, motherfucker.
So
I love The View.
So do you want to talk about this movie?
Not really, but let's do it anyway because we've already titled it announced it.
I've watched it twice. In fact, I was watching it here on Jeff's couch.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? I walk in and you're like,
we're watching.
Like you couldn't get enough of it in the last 48 hours.
Because I watched it once and I forgot everything about it.
That will happen.
And I was like, Jeff, man, I was in the area. I was like, Jeff, are you home, dude? Because I need to watch this movie again, and I'm either going to watch it in my car or I'm going to watch it on your couch. And he was like, come on by, man. So we put it on. He's like, dude, I love this movie. And we're sitting here watching it.
I feel like we might need to get Jeff on the mic, or at least to defend. What, because you're not the first person who has said that they love this movie.
I don't think we require a defense of this movie.
So somebody has to stand up for it. It's just going to be us beating on
Jeff,
it.
Jeff, what did you love about this movie? What did you like?
I think a lot of it has to do with I grew up with the movie and
see,
I thought it was I thought
grew
it was
up
fun.
With it. I graduated high school when it came
I was
out.
I was 10 when it came out.
Oh
so
my God.
Here's the thing, and that's right in the sweet spot. I have a theory about, like, it's my 12-year-old theory where every movie you saw when you were 12 years old, you love regardless of the quality. And this is right in that sweet spot for you, I feel like. So
wow.
Even having revisited it now.
Yeah, did you love it now watching it?
Yeah, not as much as I did as a kid. There are some parts that still made me laugh just as hard.
Oh yeah,
as
okay. Oh yeah, there sure as hell was.
There's a couple
there
of chuckles.
Sure
in
as
there.
Hell was.
There's a couple
I'm
of
sitting
chuckles.
Here on the couch looking at Jeff like he's from another fucking planet. I was like, really? You're laughing at this?
There's some fun juvenile humor.
Tell him what part you thought was the funniest.
Well, I thought you guys went in order of the movie.
Do we've kind of given up on that formula where, like, I sit here and go, all right, let's summarize the entire movie.
Well, right off the bat in the movie is a horrible joke. They introduce the whole little penis tattoo motif that goes on throughout.
I want to ask you about that. They talked about
I don't have a tattoo
Bruce
on my penis.
Oscar nominee Bruce Dern. Yes. There's a couple award-winning actors in this movie.
A couple, meaning two.
William H. Macy.
That's it.
Rip Torn's won Emmys.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Emmys. Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, Oscars. Emmys. William H. Macy's won an Oscar.
Yeah.
You've got Bruce Dern, who's nominated.
Yeah, for Nebraska, it's just this year.
Amazing seeing the people that are in this flick. And then, like we pointed out, like Patton Oswalt, you're watching, and suddenly just in the background, there's Patton Oswalt. Like, you got Admiral Graham on the radio for you, Captain.
It's so weird, too, because we never saw him get on the sub. Like, I didn't spot him at all in the beginning.
No.
And it was one of those things where, oh, he's been here the entire time. It, yeah. You know what it was?
It was like Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah.
His name is in like one of the first three names you see in the opening credits, and you don't see him until probably 45 minutes into the movie.
Well, that I forgive, because he's in the engine room and he's got his Hawaiian T-shirt on. You kind
of
believe that he was
one of the biggest names. He's an Oscar Award winner too.
Is he?
Yes.
All right.
I'm pretty sure he won for one of those David Lynch movies.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been around a while.
So you've got this guy locked up in an engine room who gets knocked out at one point. But that's beyond the point. No, they're in that boardroom.
Yeah.
It's the oversight committee. And they're talking about, you know, first we see Kelsey Grammer and he's hitting golf balls off of this sub or whatever.
Hilarious
and
reveal.
I know. And William H. Macy's his boss. And you find out that, like, he's kind of a cut-up. So you got this oversight committee. And they're like, well, he's up for review. And if he doesn't make it this time, he's never going to be promoted to a sub-captain,
I guess. That's script writing 101. Go ahead and set your stakes.
I know,
make it really obvious for the viewer. Here's what's at stake, everybody.
This
is going to come into play later.
It's his career. Well, that's where we get like the only fuck in the movie is Kelsey Grammer. And he's like, well, confirmed kill. You fucked my career. Like, that's it. And that's where the PG-13 comes and goes is in the first 4 minutes. So they're in this meeting and Bruce Dern's like, I don't think that you should promote this guy. He has a tattoo on his genitalia. I don't think it's proper for us to promote a man who's got welcome aboard or something like that tattooed on his penis. And then they cut to like reaction shots of three dudes.
Yes.
Now, am I nuts? Or what I got from that was that all three of them also had tattoos on their penis.
Wow, you're reading a lot of subcontext into that.
I mean, the way they
you know what that
like,
was? I'll tell you exactly what that was. That was, remember when they would do this in the editing room? Because this was a movie that was supposed to play, you're supposed to see it in a theater with an audience, and this was uproarious laughter.
So this was the pause for laughter.
This was there were a couple of those throughout this movie, I noticed, where it's like, oh, we gotta make sure they can't hear step on that next line of brilliant dialogue. We've got to leave some breathing room for the audience to calm down like it's a fucking Wayne Brothers
movie. There's no way. When was this movie released? Like, what time in 96, do you know?
It was, I can tell you, because it's almost to the day. We're recording this on March, what did I say, the 3rd or 4th?
This is the 3rd. Or 4th. No, this is the 4th.
In podcast land, it really doesn't matter. But
yeah, right.
In
reality, you're going to end up hearing this on the 12th.
if you're lucky.
Jeff,
be the posthumous.
Jeff's like, thanks for throwing me under the fucking
No, we had technical difficulties last week. That's why we had.
We had to cut a lot of stuff out. That's what the technical difficulties were. I don't mind telling you. No, it's okay. We had a lot of shit.
Then
I was like, hey, Jeff, we might want to take that out. We could be, that could be slanderous.
Jesus, it was an hour and 20 minutes long. What was the original cut?
It was about an hour and a half.
Got a fucking Scorsese movie going on there.
Anyway, so
March 1st is when it came out, 1996.
Get out of town, really?
Yeah. Well, this is right in the middle.
So it's right after Feb. Like, it came right out on the cusp.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those movies that Hollywood's like,
nah. Yeah, they didn't have a lot of faith in. Who could have seen the Down Periscope starring Kelsey
Rob
Grammer?
Rob Schneider and Kelsey
wasn't
Grammer.
Wasn't going to get a lot of asses in the seats. Oh, Rob Schneider. Yeah. That's the other problem, too.
That was another thing. Rob Schneider, I'll tell you what. The dude did not have, like, a hit flick, but he was in a shit ton of movies in the 90s.
Yeah. All with...
with Stallone.
Either Stallone or Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's true.
His buddies.
Well, he still is in all the Adam Sandler
movies. If he didn't know those people, would we know who he is?
From SNL. He was the making copies guy.
That's true.
And he was actually funny for the most part on SNL.
In short form.
In short form.
I don't have to look at his ass for 90 seconds.
I do have to admit, he did a show in the 90s. And I think it ran through like to early 2000, maybe not. Maybe it ran like 97 to 98 or whatever. A show called, it was the American remake of Men Behaving Badly. That's originally an English series, BBC show. And it was him, and I can't remember what the other dudes, this dude, he was in the movie Sleepers, but.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. And Justine Bateman played his roommate's girlfriend.
Mallory?
But then, Mallory. And then in the second season, they took him out and ended up replacing him with Ken Marino.
Ooh, that's
so it was like Ken Marino and Rob Schneider running around playing roommates in the show. And I got to admit, like, I kind of fucking love this show. And like when they released it on DVD, I fucking went out and bought it immediately.
Here's the thing. He's talented, clearly. You don't get on SNL if you're a fucking hack, right?
Joe Piscopo.
Okay. You're talking like the 70s.
Well, I'm talking, you didn't lay a parameter of when in SNL. Really? That was the heyday of SNL for you?
I mean,
it was your heyday.
90s, mid-90s. That's when you had like Will Ferrell and Will Ferrell.
Chris Kattan.
Chris Kattan.
No, you did have Daryl Hammond, who I think was really
there's
really
a lot
funny.
Of, you go back and watch those best of, that's where you get a lot of from the mid-90s. Oh, okay, man, maybe I'm romanticizing
late 80s,
it.
Man. Phil Hartman. That's when it was
yeah,
hot.
Yeah, but for
man.
Every Phil Hartman, there was a Jan Hook. Or there was a, who was the blonde, curly-headed dentist name?
Oh, the...
yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Gosh, Victoria Jackson.
Victoria Jackson. So it's like, I still think the bad outweighed the good.
Okay, and the bad outweighed the good in Down Periscope.
Way to bring it back around, Joe. Thank you. Let's write this train.
All
right,
so
penis jokes right off the top.
Penis jokes right off the bat with reaction shots. And where else did that happen in the movie? Where they had like reaction, where they cut to like, hey, we need to cut to some reactions to tell the audience. It's like the movie equivalent of the laugh track.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Okay. Yeah, somebody had done that recently on the internet. They took an episode of Friends or a scene from Friends.
He took the laugh track out.
Did you see that?
It was creepy.
Yeah, because it was like Ross, it was like hitting on, and it wasn't, no, he was asking
was Ross,
the martial arts guy how to stalk a chick.
How to stalk a chick.
So out of context, maybe not as funny. But yeah, when you take that laugh track out, meaning the audience that's supposed to be laughing at your jokes.
Yeah.
All that shit just falls even flatter.
Yes, it does.
And so later on in the movie, I said it happened a couple of times. Maybe it was just the pacing was so slow, or there's a lot of scenes, even as we're rewatching it here at the end, the movie's almost over. You're like, climax, you know, as the apex of the movie, we're on the other side of the hill. We're any minute from the credits running. And there's like a long 90-second shot of them just like deboarding the sub and like walking. Like
they're ever walking.
There's some music, just stoically too. Not like they're giving each other high fives or you know, there's no lines here. They're just walking to Randy Edelman music.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that.
There's just not a lot going on dynamically in the visual aspect of this film.
No.
And I get it. It's you're stuck in a submarine. Now, as far as like dynamic visuals, okay, you know, we've got that. That's a given. But what really gets me about this movie is just how bland it's scripted out.
Ooh, yeah.
It's such a bland script. There's nothing punched up. You could tell, like, this is the first draft of this script.
Yeah.
And nobody came in to, like, doctor it up or let's punch this up a little bit or something.
I think they thought that if you get Kelsey Grammer, TV's Frasier, you get Rip Torn, you get some funny people and give them this script, they're going to make it funny. Just turn the cameras on. Let them roll. Let them do this thing.
David O. Russell this thing.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, unfair.
Oh, really? Unfair? Did you see American Hustle?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. It's like he just sat down the camera and was like, go ahead and just do your thing. Just do your stuff. It's such a bland script. It feels like everybody's kind of speaking with the same voice.
Fucking Frasier. I'm just going to keep calling him Frasier.
It's okay.
He sleepwalks through this movie. Like his line delivery. There's a couple of moments there near the beginning where it's like, oh, he's learning from his Frasierness and he's evoking that character because that's what he is. Frasier, right? Like
the most dynamic we get from him is when he says fuck in the first 4 minutes.
He does fuck, and every time he says I love this job, which I guess
I
was
love
supposed
this
to be.
Job.
He says it three times, and I'm not.
That's like
other than
if
him
they were going to make
it,
if they were making the Down Periscope action figures, like
you
if you push, you pull the string, that's what he would say.
I love this job.
I think the problem with Kelsey Grammer is when you get him for a project like this, and this is why he hasn't done too many films, if any, is that once you get him on a set, people are like, do your Frasier thing.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I want you to do.
And he
do
either
Frasier
doesn't want to do it or it doesn't work for the material. I don't think it worked for the material here. I think it was a bad casting choice.
I think it was a bad casting choice as well. I think this movie could have been funnier if it had a script doctor, somebody to punch it up, but also recast it. You know, you have a whole bunch of just generic nobodies in all these different roles where you could have maybe thrown some up-and-comer in there that would have added something to it.
You know how I'll defend, though, who saves this movie for me is Harlan Williams.
Oh, God.
If you're not familiar
I've
with
never her, liked Harlan Williams.
Fist pump from Jeff over here. What?
I've never liked Harlan Williams. Never
okay.
in my life. I've
he's,
never liked him.
He is an acquired taste. I'll give you that because he's like so quirky. If you don't know who Harlan Williams are for the listener,
or
what would they know
or
him
is.
For? four is. I like to use him as the plural, like they do in England.
The Disney film Rocket Man.
He was in Rocket Man.
He played a cross-dressing college student in Sorority Boys.
He was the guy who got arrested in Half-Baked.
And he was the cop in Dumb and Dumber that drank the pee out of the beer bottle.
Yeah, so there you go. He's got quite an
A little bit of Grandpa's cold medicine.
That's a pretty good impersonation. Yeah, he's got a very definite speech pattern.
And he's Canadian.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
He's got that Canadian speech pattern.
He's very clearly Canadian. Canadian.
He's a Canadian comedian. A comedian is what we call them.
Thank you for saving that.
It was intentional. Yeah. We wrote that. We worked that bit out before exactly. We started rolling.
We need to put a trademark on that right now.
Ooh, there you go.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
copyright 2014.
2014. Yes.
But I like Harlan
you
Williams.
You like Harlan.
I like him because of what he is. He's one of these actors, just comes on screen and I start laughing, and maybe that's not the sign of a good comedian. But he does it, and Robert Schneider. Wow, I've just elevated him to Sir
Robert of the Schneiders.
Rob Schneider does not do that. I get the opposite effect from him. And Harlan Williams, he does that whole scene where he's like making the whale noises.
Oh, God, that is like the apex of me not being able to stand Harlan Williams. Jesus.
I loved it, man.
Oh, my God.
Jeff's got my back over here, man. We're shaking his head. This is where we're...
He was 10 when this came out. That's why he liked it. He admitted that it wasn't as funny this time around.
That's true. But that one scene did make me chuckle.
Oh,
we mentioned earlier that there were a couple of scenes here that made us crack a smile. Will you have anything off the top of your head?
Of anything that made me crack a smile?
Yeah, or no. Is this a complete zero for you? Wow. Really? Nothing, huh?
I am a blank. Right. I really am. I am a blank. I just... There's so many things that... Okay, the electrician guy.
Oh,
when he's testing the wires, and he's like, you know, reading the, and then he like hits it and it sparks up, and he's like, "That's live." You know, that's all right. I guess I kind of dug that performance, but that was it. Like I said, I watched through this movie twice, and even now, as we sit here recording, 20 minutes after watching it, like it just ended, I kind of fucking forget half of the movie I just watched.
You likened it to Police Academy on a Submarine.
It is. It's Police Academy on a Submarine.
It absolutely is. It's like the scrappy, ragtag, underdog team that they should fail beyond all odds.
They're plucky. Their boat represents them.
It's
broken.
Rusty.
It's outdated.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they just got enough spirit. It's got enough spirit to make it through, to finish the mission.
You know, that was a lesson that I think maybe is ill-conceived, because there's that scene where they're testing out the submarine for the first time. What are we in the first act? And everybody's on crew. They're all kind of getting their feet wet, no pun intended, and they're taking it down. 350 feet, you know. We're at crush depth. We're at 400 feet.
Yeah.
And Kelsey Grammer's stoic. He's just like, keep going.
I need to know what she can do.
That's exactly what he says. I need to know what she can do. Meanwhile, pipes are bursting, and they're tilted 45 degrees. That's a really serious situation. Like, people could have died.
Yeah.
Like, that's no joke. That guy would have been brought up on charges for murder, Kelsey Grammer, if that didn't play out the way he wanted it to.
I feel like this movie, because the tone of it is so all over the damn place.
Here we go, yeah.
It's like, it wants to be this screwball comedy, but at the same time, like, it's presenting these scenarios and situations that are kind of dire.
A little too real.
A little real. Like that whole scene that you're talking about, the testing the crush depth. There's a scene where Harry Dean Stanton is taping up string on the wall, and he's like, "I want you to watch this string.
Yeah.
When we start hitting crush depth, you're going to see the hull of the ship start to implode like an empty beer can."
Yep.
And, like, we're actually watching the string. And I'm like, okay, this is... We're building tension. Like, literally, we're releasing tension while at the same time building tension while watching this movie. And the tone of it feels like there was a serious flick in here somewhere.
This is like a U-5-7-2.
Yeah. But it ended up getting turned into a comedy, or it was a comedy, and somebody came in and went, "This is too funny. We need to put something in here that's a little..."
Because who would do that?
There are three moments in this film where nobody says a goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, we're testing the crush depth. It's, we've been, you know, the Orlando is right above us and we need to be quiet.
That's right.
So suddenly we've created this quiet moment. And then there's the, we need to get between the propellers of a tanker. And so now bring us around. And it's all scenes where, like, nobody's saying a damn thing.
Yeah, no comedy at all. intense.
How do you write a comedy? Like, how do you write a screwball comedy starring a guy like Kelsey Grammer, who's known for his, you know, his wit?
It comes from his eloquence. Exactly. His words.
And you don't have him say anything. That's like the equivalent of the Wolverine movie where you've got Deadpool, this character who's known as the Merc with the Mouth, because he wisecracks all the time. And then in the third act, when we find him again, his mouth has been sewn shut.
He can't talk.
He can't talk. That ruins the character. And that's, I feel like, you know, as much of a bad decision it was to cast Kelsey Grammer in this film, if you're not going to let him speak, it's even, you're committing even more of an offense.
That's on you, producer.
Yes.
And you bring up a good point, because, like you said, tonally it's all over the place. What they should have done, and what I think they wanted to do, because the whole reason this movie was made, I guess that, you know, we had Hunt for Red October, we had a whole
Crimson
slew,
Tide.
Crimson Tide, we had a whole slew, I think the pre- mentioned was it U571?
U571 came out afterwards.
I think that was a good 10-year span where we had like a submarine movie every other year.
Uh-huh.
And so this was trying to capitalize in the way that Airplane was capitalizing on the disaster movies from the 70s. But Airplane is how you do it right. Fuck it, look at you. You're laughing Airplane.
I'm laughing because
I'm comparing
earlier today I saw Nonstop, the Liam Neeson movie.
Oh, no.
And I described it to a friend of mine. I was like, you remember the movie Airplane? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. It's Airplane with guns. Like that's what this is.
That sounds awesome, actually. Yeah, well, I would see that.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it still wasn't good.
Yeah, that's too bad. Liam Neeson, hit or miss.
You know what? He's striking while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
He's not gonna live too much longer, so he may as well make some money.
Is he that old?
Well, he's an old guy. He was in his 20s back when that Excalibur movie came out.
Wow.
And like it's weird because there's something about that movie Excalibur where Helen Mirren and he both aged quite gracefully.
Yeah.
But everybody else is dead. Everyone else who was in that movie is dead.
They're both British, though, so maybe it says something more about bangers and mash and shepherd's pie. We should be eating that stuff. It's our hamburgers and hot dogs that are killing
us. Fucking Brits, man. They age really well.
Yeah, but they make up for it with their teeth, though, so it's a sacrifice you have to
Yes.
Make.
All right, so yes, this was down Periscope, but very much had that Airplane feel to
it. No, I think it wanted to be Airplane. Airplane is how you do it right. Airplane was clever. Airplane had funny visual puns. Airplane had serious actors. You had, like, you know, William Shatner.
Leslie Nielsen was a serious actor
Robert
at the time.
Stack. That was the first time Leslie Nielsen actually came out as showing his comedic chops. Uh-huh. Before then, you're right. He was always the straight man.
Yeah. Sometimes the villain.
And sometimes the villain, that's right. So if this movie would have done that, maybe they would have been a little more successful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think they knew what kind of comedy they wanted to be. It wanted to be Porky's while still being kind of Police Academy, but yeah.
See, it's hard for me to say because at the time I was working at a movie theater when this came out. That was my job, my high school job, up until I graduated. And so, you know, I feel like at that time, especially in that time in the mid to late 90s, I feel like everybody was seeing movies at that point because I was always at the movie theater.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard for me to be objective about how this did in the box office. Do you have numbers for this?
I actually do. You know, it didn't do too bad, in the box office. It made $25 million.
How much did it cost?
Unfortunately, it cost $31 million to make.
Oh my God.
So, well, 25 is an admirable number. They still didn't. And I think that was domestic. Even internationally, I think it got all the way up to 37. So maybe they got their money back.
Are you telling me right now, I think you're telling me Down Periscope still did better at the box office than Big Trouble in Little China?
Yeah. In the short term. Now, long term, you know, I don't know.
Down Periscope, they're not making comic books. They just announced they're going to be doing a Big Trouble in Little China-based comic book.
I am in.
Yeah.
I am all about the fucking Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah, man.
I can't get enough. I almost started watching it again last night instead of watching this movie. It worked for us doing the podcast. I just wanted to see that opening scene where he's driving in the Pork Chop Express.
It would have been awesome.
Love it.
It would have been great to do that movie again.
Yeah, we'll make it an annual thing.
We'll just play that podcast over. All right, so it still made, it didn't make its money back in America, but, you know, worldwide, I guess it made $7 million is what you're saying.
Well, you say that, but then you got to take into account, you know, marketing and distribution and I mean, this isn't the type of movie that you see.
How much money do you think they put into marketing in this movie, though? This doesn't seem like the kind of movie they're like, you know, putting commercials on like Super Bowl Sunday.
No, but it was on my radar. Again, no pun intended. But
on
even
your sonar.
Oh, I see what you did there. But yeah, when that was the year I graduated in 1996. And I remember seeing commercials for it, and of the two theater screens that we had, in Little Beeville, Texas.
Yeah.
It was playing on one of them.
Wow.
Because it had to be one R-rated movie and one PG-13 movie. So I think that was the one. So people knew of it. And people knew who Kelsey Grammer was. You know, this could have been a burgeoning career for him.
And instead...
Instead he did this
instead
movie.
Instead the only other movie I can think of that he did was that third X-Men movie.
Would you say this sunk his career? Wow. They just keep coming, folks. Submarine puns, ahoy.
Oh my gosh. Please make it stop.
I want to talk a little bit about something else, just briefly.
Please do.
The cinematography. Did you notice some discrepancies at the beginning? How all the interior shots look like they were lit for a Barbara Walters interview?
Yes.
Like just gauze and like petroleum jelly on the lens.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
These gold. And it's like fucking somebody was going for an Oscar.
Well, there was a lot of old people in the first few minutes of that movie.
So you got to cover up those wrinkles.
So they had soft lenses, especially for them.
That's a good
but
point.
No, I got you. There were a lot of discrepancies with the look of this film. Almost like they were like there were so many units working on this movie.
Well, maybe that can be attributed to the fact that you know all the exterior submarine shots or most of them are like stock footage. You know they didn't get all these submarines. Like they went out and collected footage. I think they even shot it like in an abandoned submarine lot in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So a lot of second unit stuff.
You definitely don't get the feel like they had full access from like the naval yard or whatever.
Well, can you blame them? First of all, we're going to make one of your guys a villain.
It was a fantastic... Well, villain. It was like Police Academy, you know? He was the bad... You know, he was the antagonist.
But
he was
why?
The guy that didn't believe...
I didn't
because
understand.
Because the dude had a tattoo on his dick.
That seems to be the only
the
motivation,
only
right?
That was the motivation. He didn't like
these
Kelsey
kids.
Grammer's style.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like that he was outside the box. And that's what Rip Torn kept telling Kelsey Grammer to be. Be a pirate. Be outside the box. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a man with a tattoo on his dick. What? Did you notice that there were quite a few little ADR moments
where
someone would say something? Clearly, they're saying one thing, and the audio is way different than
there's
what
the
was.
One scene where it's like raining outside, and they're climbing up. It's Kelsey Grammer, one of the other guys, and he starts singing the
Jackson.
Army song.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's the Army song. But if you look closely, like his mouth is closed while that line is being read. So I mean, that's different than what you're talking about, though.
Well, I mean, there's a part where Rob Schneider is talking to Kelsey Grammer, and he talks about like, you know, you've got the wiener tattoo, but you see his mouth obviously says dick tattoo.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's funny.
MPAA made him cut back for
funny
that PG-13.
The things they had to cut out to make this PG-13. Now, with a movie like this, and I'm not saying this to be sexist, and I saw what your girlfriend wrote on the Facebook page where she was like, Lieutenant Lake was obviously over-sexualized or blah, 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 blah.
That's the one part of the movie I liked.
Yeah, right. But seriously, I'm not saying that it had any artistic merit, but when you're making a screwball TNA comedy, you know, and you're already doing the bit where you've got this female character just about busting out of her top when they mess with their stuff, this is the formula for like a good screwball comedy from the 80s, from like your Police Academy or your Porky's.
Yeah.
At some point, somebody has to like walk in on Lauren Holly in the middle of changing.
Yep.
Or she's in like the torpedo bay and she accidentally gets her clothes stuck in like the door of
right.
one of the torpedo
clad.
Guns. Mm-hmm. And when she fires it off, it takes her costume off.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So you could have written this.
But because I grew up watching screwball TNA comedies,
yeah.
I'm not, and again, I can't stress this enough to the listener. I'm not saying that that's what I wanted. I'm not saying that that makes a good film. What I'm saying is, you set your mark to make a certain movie. That's what you need to do. That's what you're advertising is this screwball comedy.
Yeah.
And in those movies, women will be objectified. And you either do it and you commit to it or you don't. And they tried to straddle that line and you can't straddle that line.
It made it even more awkward.
You make a milquetoast, non-effective, just forgettable film.
Yeah.
Because it refuses to be anything. It's just what it is, what this movie is. It's a wasted hour and a half.
It's a good way of saying it. And you're right, they don't even do anything with, like, there was no real struggle. Like,
there was
she's
no
introduced
payoff.
First of all, why the fuck is Kelsey Grammer so bummed that like this hot blonde has been stationed on his sub? Like, he looks so put off. Like,
well,
this is the guy who's supposed to have a tattoo on his dick. He's supposed to be a ladies' man.
It's because they keep playing off of the entire, you know, a woman isn't supposed to be on a submarine.
Yeah, I get it. But we're introduced there. She's introduced, and then the next scene is them, like, fucking with her clothes, and then she's in the tight fitting. But they never do anything with it again, right?
And what they should have done with that, if they're not going to show anything on her, and that's fine. You don't have to show her. But if you want to do something, give her character an arc.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
not the I'm too scared
she was just a fucking pussy.
to pilot the fucking submarine.
I know.
Give her an arc. Give her personal growth. So she gets hazed and all her clothes are shrunk. Have her go back onto the boat, like when she's bowing up and she gets back up on the boat. The next shot is her knocking a fucking guy out or something.
Or being empowered by it and owning it and turning the tables on
him. You know, you make her the tall, like, badass blonde from Police Academy.
Yeah.
The chick that was so badass, nobody wanted to fuck with her. They were always checking her out from afar, but the moment she got up in their face, they're like, whoa, 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 no, 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 no. Like, that's how you create the dynamic of a character.
Yeah.
And they didn't with her. She was what you saw when she walked on that boat is what she was the entire story. And at no point in that movie did she change at all. So if you're trying to protect her dignity with, like, oh, well, we're not going to show her tits. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to get her naked. We're not going to have her take off her clothes in this movie. Well, you know what? You're not retaining that much more dignity when you don't have her redeem herself.
Yeah,
in some
exactly.
way.
She's, oh, I'm a weak little nimble princess and I need to be rescued. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
No, I can't argue with that.
That gets me.
Salient point.
And I don't know. I don't know why I'm like all worked up over that.
Well, you're all about female empowerment.
Well, I do like female heroes, and I like to see female characters treated correctly.
Yeah.
But
this is not her.
But at the same time, I am also the same guy that's going to say, if it's a screwball teenage comedy, you got to show some skin.
Yeah. Also,
it's got to happen.
Absolutely zero chemistry between her and Kelsey Grammer.
Zero chemistry between anybody.
And this forced, like, but they were supposed to kind of have this romance, and it was a forced romance. And even when she, like, pecks him on the cheek,
uh-huh.
you know, the end.
And then bangs her hand on the door.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Apparently that was a blooper.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get another take. They couldn't get Kelsey Grammer to do another take correctly.
Just looking at her and going,
I guess so. So they're like, all right, we're going to go with that take.
That weird shit-eating grin.
Or maybe that was the only take that had any sense of, like, liveliness in it or sense that these actors were having a good time on set or giving a performance. So uh-huh. it's like, all right, somebody smiled and somebody gave had a genuine moment. So
yeah.
let's so cram that in because...
Let's print it. Oh, my God.
Close the gate, as
but
they
back,
say.
But back to what I was saying, there's no chemistry between anybody in this film.
Yeah.
There's, except, like, maybe there's the couple scenes with Rip Torn and Bruce Dern.
I like him, and then I also like Howard Dean, what's his name? Howard Dean Stanton?
There's Harry Dean Stanton?
Harry Dean Stanton.
He doesn't do anything with anybody.
No, he does.
He doesn't need any chemistry with anyone.
The younger guy, there's kind of like a mentor, protege relationship going on.
Did you pick that up?
No, I'm grasping at straws now.
Oh, my God.
But I'm just saying, it was the closest to...
Can we talk
feelings
about
that?
Can we talk about how convoluted this script is? Like just the plot of this movie.
Yeah.
That, like, in order to get his own nuclear class sub, he's given, like, this motorized
a diesel
submarine.
Yeah. First of all, I'm pretty sure that's not how ranking works in the Navy or any military.
That you have
branch.
To win the Hunger Games to end up getting a promotion and
because, captain. Again, these people could have died. This was on like a deprecated. Am I using that word correctly?
Sure, decrepit.
Decrepit. That's what I. Wow. What am I drinking?
I don't know, man, but I love that word, decrepitated.
I hope I don't do this in the live show, Joe. It's going to be awful.
It's going to happen.
I'm going to make up words.
I can't wait for the first joke that doesn't go over at the live show.
The first of many. Sure. We're going to have to get a laugh track in there.
We need to set up a mic, too.
Okay, no, that's checklist. One of my notes.
Mental
checklist. I got it on there.
So,
mic the audience.
Awesome. damn it. See, we can't even stay focused on this fucking movie.
We have too many electronics around
So they have to basically... insert themselves in different guarded points along the Virginia coastline to then prove that I should get my own ship.
I guess.
Why can't he just... They talked about simulators and all this stuff. You know, why just let him make him do The Sims? You know, do these different simulator things and then get your promotion. I know if he does that, then you don't get this wonderfully delightful comedy... but it's...
Plus, I would argue that all of the tricks that he uses to win these war games, he's taking advantage of the fact that they're on this old ship, the diesel, that they can shut the engines down, that they can't hear them. And then at the end of the movie, when he's promoted and given his own sub, and he's given a fucking nuclear sub, and I'm like, well, this guy's going to sink.
Yeah, because now he doesn't
all
have
of his
the advantage
own
of all this
exactly.
stuff.
It's like he got lucky three times in a row, and now he's going to kill his crew.
But that's what he wanted. He wanted someone who thought outside the box.
to test it to see what it could do.
And so do you think he and Lauren Holly ended up together at the end?
No.
Like, he's talking about, like, she's like, what's all this about this tattoo? And he's like, it's a long story or some shit. And then they just go to credit. And then the credit sequence is the village people
Probably the most entertaining part of the movie, aside from Harlan Williams in my book.
That's another thing to look out for. I put that on the list with watch out for movies that take place in medieval times with a heavy metal soundtrack in the trailer. Like, there's that, and then watch out for movies
that
have...
That is a very narrow
Watch out
niche.
For movies that have a goofy music video sequence in the credits, and that's every Steve Carell flick.
You're not kidding. They're even using the kind of that Coolio lens from the 1990s or Busta Rhymes where it's like super fisheye wide angle and they're like mugging into it. I feel like he put more performance into that music video.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Than the
no
rest
doubt.
Of the movie.
You guys were talking about there was a sequence in the music video that they put in the trailer for the movie.
Yeah.
That was nowhere in the flick.
It's fucking Lauren Holly like water skiing behind the submarine looking hot in like a skin tight suit. See, there you go. Maybe there's something on the cutting room floor.
Lauren Holly.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
So we're going to go back to this just for a second.
All right.
So we agree. She's not a very talented actress.
You know, the best thing I saw her in was that Dragon the Bruce Lee story.
Really? Better than Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah. I don't like that movie.
You didn't like it?
I know. It's controversial. Okay. Controversial opinion.
I really don't care one way or the other about it.
Take it or leave it.
I heard the news they were making like another sequel to
Oh, man.
It?
I work with a guy. Hey, Jay, if you're listening. But he was a huge fucking Dumb and Dumber fan.
Yeah.
And the day that news broke and like his Twitter feed started blowing up, like he was not getting any more work done that day.
Really?
He was running around dreaming of what, you know, other adventures, misadventures Jim Carrey and Steph Daniels would get into.
There's a couple funny things in that movie to me. But other than that, it's your average Farrelly Brothers flick.
Yeah.
Where a lot of the stuff kind of pops and fizzles, and it damn sure doesn't stand the test of time. A lot of Farrelly Brothers movies just doesn't hold up. Like even Something About Mary.
Something About Mary I would put in that category.
It doesn't quite stand up anymore.
Yeah. And yet Cameron Diaz went on to have a long career. Like one could argue that launched her comedic career.
Really? I thought The Mask did that.
The comedic career.
Oh, comedic.
I mean, you know, she wasn't really. She was the hot blonde. Bombshell.
Okay.
I was going to call it a Blomshell.
The Blomshell. This why not? We've got Comedian. So we got Blomshell. We're just coming up with all the catchphrases. So,
call me.
Down Periscope.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we want to like explore about this flick before we get into our usual...
There's one more scene that I'd like to get your opinion on because it was another one that made me chuckle too. And you talked about there being a couple of scenes where it's complete silence. We're in a submarine. It's tense. You know, they're really trying to build the tension.
Uh-huh.
I like the scene where it's completely silent, but they're doing pantomime.
Like oh my
Kelsey
God!
Grammer and Harlan
that
Williams.
Was painful for me to watch.
It's one of those things where it started off painful, and then the longer it went on, I was like, I started laughing. Oh. And then the third guy comes in and is trying to help out. And it's just a
I could feel because I'm watching Patton Oswalt in the background. When we were just watching it, and I could feel Patton Oswalt like just thinking to himself, I can't believe I'm fucking doing this movie. I can't believe I'm on the set of this stupid movie where these people are doing this dumb pantomime. I get the whole feeling that like they didn't really know what to do there, and so the director was like, just vamp, just improvise something. And Kelsey Grammer was like, ha ha, I could do something for this. And then you got like this horribly awkward pantomime where he's trying to tell somebody to do like the noise
of the
whales.
Voice. Yeah.
And it was so bad.
Yeah, the longer it went on, though, the more it made me chuckle.
Why? It was such a waste of film, man. It wasn't. And the thing was, when Harlan Williams got up to do his thing, it wasn't funny. It wasn't a funny bit. It wasn't.
It's
and
not
that's,
a funny bit.
That's
it's,
the problem with everything in this film.
Yeah.
Is that it was what one guy thought was really funny, mm-hmm. and no one came in with an objective eye and went.
Or added
I don't
anything
know.
To it.
Or the director. Like, somebody didn't sit there with the director going,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if this works. Do you think this plays? Maybe we should find a test audience and, like, throw this by them a few times.
They did. It's called March 1st, 1996 yes. release date. That's your test audience.
That's pretty much
first syndication. I'm sure that's what they wanted this movie to be. This movie was going to play on cable. It was going to be on at 2 a.m. on TNT for years to come, and which is probably why
you
it was a PG-13.
You can't make movies like that, though.
No,
you
cannot clearly not.
Make a movie
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously, like you just said, your favorite part of the movie is when Harlan Williams is doing the whale sounds.
Anytime Harlan Williams is on screen, I love it, man.
Oh my God. That whole bit where he can like hear really well.
Oh yeah.
And
he hears the change.
He hears
it's
the
like,
change. Like,
45 cents.
That was 45 cents.
It's a quarter and
quarter
nickel.
Of two dimes. Pretty sure. Like
Harlan Williams sounds like Jimmy Stewart.
Because that's what he sounds like.
Say Zuzu Pedals as Harlan
no,
Williams.
No, I'm not going
okay.
to. No. all right, so what was the worst part of this movie?
Man, it's easy, but Kelsey Grammer just sleepwalking through it.
Yeah?
He's just, his heart wasn't in it. I think he tried a couple of times. Like I said, he tried to pull out his Frasier, and they were like, don't dial it back. Or do dial it back. This isn't Frasier. You're not Frasier.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think he knows what else to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. He is Frasier.
Wow. I think that my favorite part of this movie, like I said, was the guy Nitro, the electrician.
Yeah.
Like when he would electrocute himself and then like start talking in different voices. Like at one point he's singing like
Harry
Connick like,
Jr.
Well, no, like Frank Sinatra. And he's not even singing a real song. He's like, and all those dames and broads.
Yeah.
Like
he was the Michael Winslow of this episode.
He really was. If this was a Police Academy movie, it would be Michael Winslow doing his. So I liked him.
Yeah.
He was my favorite part of the movie.
All right, that's good.
And then the worst part of the film, I'd have to say, was all of the little interactions that they tried to build with the extras or with the minor characters, where they tried to build relationships.
Oh, like
failed.
The token black guy and then the hard guy that started off.
The gambler
yeah.
and the basketball player.
Yeah.
Where somehow the gambler and the guy he lost money on both end up serving in the same ship. So we've got that manufactured drama going on. You got the cook who's just always working in the galley.
Yeah.
Like that's it.
Dirty.
He's dirty. He's putting ashes in the pans. And Rob Schneider's always on his ass.
Ugh.
And he's like pamming up like the ladder.
Yeah. Jeff is reliving it in his head and laughing.
It's these dumb archetypes, these dumb characters, and none of them. Like I said with Lauren Holly, there was no arc, there was no journey that her character went on. None of these characters went on any kind of journey. There was never a beginning, a middle, or an end for any of them. And I'm not saying this needed to be high art, but I'm just saying, tell me a fucking story. Let me see that someone has earned or achieved something that has made them better from the beginning to the end, or at least made them significantly different. Kelsey Grammer wasn't different from the beginning to the end. He was the same Kelsey
Grammer. He
started
off cocksure and he won.
And with this weird pirate sequence in the middle of it when they get rid of Rob Schneider.
Wow, I forgot about that.
Yes.
That is, yeah. And yet another.
Why did they dress up like a bunch of pirates and then throw him overboard? Why did they dress up like that?
I don't know. Because it looked funny, at least.
Because it looked funny.
Somebody thought that, you know, if these actors aren't going to be funny and the script isn't funny, then we're going to put them in funny costumes.
That is the worst solution. And when you're watching the movie, like, it's so blatantly obvious that this crew had no idea what they were doing. This script had to have been written by somebody's son or nephew. It had to have been a favor film. It feels like it was a favor film.
It really
film.
Does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably, like, Kelsey Grammer wasn't the first choice.
No. So
who would be your first choice, Joe? Do you want to recast this movie?
Yeah, I would love to recast this movie, but Jeff has my phone right now.
Sorry.
Because John's trying to get here to record 8-Bit. Well, all right, let me pull this up. Do you have something?
I'll start with mine, since I call out Kelsey Grammer as the worst part of it.
Okay.
Which may be a little unfair, because I totally forgot about Rob Schneider. But let's say, for instance, that he is. Who do you recast? Who can kind of do this role and be likable and lovable, but still, you know, ragtag and scrappy? And it's probably cliche because he was the captain of other ships, a spaceship called Serenity. But I think Nathan Fillion
really
could do the Kelsey Grammer role. Oh, okay. Yeah. You want to talk about somebody who's funny? Mm-hmm. He could have taken some of these lines and made them funnier just with the delivery.
Just improvising it.
Doing his own, yeah. And there's somebody who can build relationships with his crew. Of course, we've seen that with a better script on a better show.
Oh, absolutely.
But even in Castle, I don't know if you've ever seen him on Castle.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy from Castle, by the way, if you don't
know.
He's
a very charming
and
guy.
If you don't know who Nathan Fillion is, shame on you. Why are you listening to the show?
Please keep listening to the show.
Firefly and Serenity. But yeah, I think Nathan Fillion could have kind of pulled off that pseudo-confident yet... you know, flying by the seat of his pants, and kind of be a ladies' man. And there's a guy who I believe has a dick tattoo.
Yeah,
Nathan Fillion has a tattooed cock.
He does have an Egyptian tattoo on his hip.
Is that true?
You actually see it in one of the episodes of Firefly.
Bullshit.
And somebody asked, they're like, "Hey, was that like something from Malcolm Reynolds? Is that like a character thing?" And he was like, "No, there's a tattoo I got when I was 16 years old.
It's actually his
and
tattoo.
I wish I never got it."
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
He never explained why.
Yeah, he was drunk. He was drunk and he just got a tattoo.
Wow, see? So he's like 12 inches away from, from getting a
Kelsey
bad
Grammer.
Decision tattoo on his cock.
And I'm not saying that I wanted to see Kelsey Grammer's cock, but what I'm saying is...
I think you are, Joe.
What I'm saying is...
I think you are.
...that if you're going to keep mentioning a tattoo on somebody's genitals, someone in the movie has to see it.
You wanted like the Boogie Nights moment at the end where he's just standing in front of the mirror
and
you're the fucking best. You're the fucking best.
No. I love that. I love that because nobody ever gets that. That's like an homage to Raging Bull.
I know.
No, but what I'm saying is not that we needed to see it, but that someone in the movie, that maybe Lauren Holly accidentally sneaks a peek, that somebody sees it and confirms like, it's there.
Does.
Or else, because otherwise, it's a dumb plot point that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, someone actually sat there and wrote the script and thought, ha, tattoo on your dick. That's really funny, and it's going to get a laugh every time someone says it. Yeah. No. You know, maybe mention it ahead of time, but then later in the movie, the Lauren Holly character, you want to build a chemistry between the two characters? Maybe she sees it.
Or, even better, add a little depth to his character. Maybe it turned out he actually doesn't have a tattoo on his dick.
Okay.
It's a rumor that everybody started, but and he doesn't want to quell it because it's the only reason they respect him.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
And then she finds out it's not. No, and then she finds out it's not there and keeps his secret.
Oh, there you go.
Bam.
There
chemistry.
You go. Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
Still not funny, but.
Did you want to go through your whole cast and then I'll go through mine, or do you want to just
go back
and
forth?
Do you
have one for Kelsey Grammer?
I sure do. I sure do.
I
went a different direction with it because you've got Kelsey Grammer, who is known for comedy with Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of a little, you know, he's not a hunky guy. He's not what people would would call a handsome man.
Some would call ugly.
Whereas, you know, Nathan Fillion is a good looking dude.
Handsome motherfucker.
Even now at his advanced weight that hey, look, I have no room to talk.
No, but
I'm
you're
just
right.
saying that he has gained weight since he started Castle.
He's got those De Niro pounds.
But he's still a great looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
I went a different angle with it. Someone who's still just as funny, could deliver the dialogue, could do what you said, improvise and kind of make things a little bit funnier. I went with John C. Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, kind of even has the same feel.
Has the same feel.
He's Kelsey Grammer 2.0.
But funnier.
Well, that's where the 2.0 comes
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Nice. Good call.
I don't know how much you cast. I cast basically the entire crew.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, shit. Well, then maybe you should go through yours and I'll pop in with mine.
Okay, I'll go through mine. So I have John C. Reilly playing the Kelsey Grammer role.
I like it.
His boss, the William H. Macy role, played by Nick Offerman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
he's very, very dry.
I feel like he's done that kind of role
I don't
before.
Know why, but they've gone ahead and given you your own ship. You know, something like that. The Bruce Dern character?
Yeah.
Steve Martin.
Ooh, I like that. I thought about Richard Dreyfuss in that role.
Oh, that's not bad.
Because he kind of plays exacerbated. Uh-huh. Kind of,
and that would get him back on the water since Jaws.
No, what about Bob?
Did that get him on the water?
He's on a sailboat.
Oh,
he's
God,
sailing.
I can't remember. I don't remember that movie. It's funny that you say, what about Bob, though?
Uh-oh.
Because I recast the Harry Dean Stanton role as Bill Murray.
Yes, that's fantastic. I did not.
So. Oh, you didn't read. Okay, so I'll keep going on the list. We'll see who else.
A little Steve Zissou.
Admiral Winslow, the Rip Torn character.
Yeah.
I thought that this would be a great time for the return of Jack Nicholson.
Ooh, interesting. I kind of went a similar route, and maybe just because I just saw Big Trouble in Little China, but I like Kurt Russell in that role.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As the, you know what? I'd love to see Kurt Russell as the Dick Admiral, as the Bruce Dern character.
You know what? I started off having him there and then moved him down, but really he could do any of these roles.
He really could. That's the beauty of Kurt Russell.
Only if he does it as the character from Big
Trouble
in Little China.
As Jack Burton.
Yeah.
I'm Admiral Jack Burton.
On the USS. Pork chop.
Rob Schneider, the Pascal character.
Mm-hmm.
I cast Christopher Mintz-Plasse, McLovin.
Ooh, yes, because he's so hateable, but he can do funny.
Yeah.
I had, you know who Charlie Day is?
From yes, It's from Funny. It's Always Sunny.
I like him in that role.
Oh, God, that would be great. Did you see him in
Pacific
Rim?
I did.
So good.
I liked him in
he's
that
He's also the voice of the spaceman in the Lego movie.
Yes, which I saw.
Yeah, I've been telling you the past few podcasts.
It's
like,
not that I didn't
When's the last
you?
Time you saw a good movie in February? I'm like, Lego movie.
Yes.
Fucking Lego movie.
You're absolutely right. If this doesn't win Best Animated Picture next year, it's going to be a travesty.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even care what comes out between now and then. It could be Toy Story 4.
That's what I said at the Oscar thing.
Yeah?
I was like, you know what? Mm-mm. I'm calling it right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Lego movie for Best Animated.
I was talking to my brother.
My sister thinks I'm crazy.
He didn't quite. Oh, no. You're so sane. It's scary. No, I was talking to my brother about it, and he was like, what's it about? Are there other Lego characters like Batman? I was like, you know what? What do you know about it? He's like, I don't know anything about it. I was like, good. Yeah, that's the best way to go into this movie. Don't know anything about it. Buy your $9 ticket and be whisked away for 90 minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
The gambler. Spots, the gambler.
I didn't do him.
Paul Rudd. And
yes.
Jackson, the basketball guy.
Yeah.
Usher. bring an Usher in for that
one. No P. Diddy? No love for P. Diddy?
No love for P. Diddy. Sonar, the Harlan Williams character.
Now you're talking.
I recast him as with Joe Trujillo.
I'm not familiar with that name.
Have you ever seen Role Models?
Yes.
The guy who's like, let us gingerly touch our tips.
I love him. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. He's hilarious. Yeah. The little short guy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's much better than my choice, which was James Franco.
James Franco. James Franco's probably not as good.
No.
Usually
it's
I like
not
to give you
good.
Props, but.
It's not as good. But I would have liked to have seen him do the whale scene. Can't you picture James
James
Franco doing whale sounds?
Okay, I would kind of like to see that.
There you go.
All right, so...
What about Lauren Holly?
Lauren Holly, I recast with Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, and I copped out and went Scarlett Johansson.
Did you?
I didn't... yours is probably better.
Well, I feel like Elizabeth Banks definitely has the comedy chops.
Mm-hmm.
Where Scarlett... ScarJo's funny. She's got some funniness to her, but she's definitely a lot hotter, I think, than Elizabeth Banks.
Can you picture her, like, I know I can, busting out of the shrunken uniform? Sorry, Jeff.
You know what? And
a little real.
I think I would rather go with yours. It's just, I guess when I was casting mine, I'm like, okay, who's a little bit more attainable for John C. Reilly? Elizabeth Banks. I could probably see that.
You know my runner-up, Anna Faris.
Anna Faris would have been fun.
And she's funny, too. I feel like we roll her out on a lot of these recastings, so
yeah.
I moved on.
I was told today that I am the king of recasting Channing Tatum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. But you don't just throw him in willy-nilly.
I try to be thoughtful about
it. He could pull off.
All right, so I've got Nitro, the electrician.
Yeah.
I thought this might be a good time for Zac Efron to show off his physical comedy chops.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's your James Franco pick.
It is. It's not quite the strongest.
I was with you until... but that's okay, because you've assembled quite an ensemble cast
I still have two more.
Oh.
The Rebel, the Admiral's son.
Oh, yeah,
who was on
the
ship. Bradley Cooper. Because he looks like Bradley Cooper.
And I went Marky Mark.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mark Wahlberg.
But it's all right.
He doesn't respond.
He's Marky Mark. And then Buckman the Cook.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be a great movie. You got some powerhouses
I don't think
in there.
We'd be able to. I don't think anyone could afford that
I was going to say the budget would be, it would be Ishtar budget.
Yes.
It'd be Waterworld budget.
Astronomical.
Yep.
Do you have anything else for your casting?
No, I don't have anything else for casting or any other notes for this piece of shit movie.
Wow. All right. Well, then I guess we'll go ahead and we'll wrap it up on this flick. And what's really exciting about this is we can actually tease what we've got coming up next week.
We got a lot of things coming up, buddy.
Yeah. Well, next week we have the Karate Kid for the UFC generation. It's the Karate Kid with no humor whatsoever. It's the movie called Never Back Down, and I'm pretty sure it's Amber Heard's first major film.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of fun.
Now, what made you pick this movie? Where did you hear of it?
Because I keep seeing it on Netflix. Yeah.
He's got a strict...
well, I was just going through. I'm like, what's on Netflix? What can we watch that's streaming that we can direct people to? Hey, you could check this out. And Never Back Down. It keeps showing up. Never Back Down. It's like, fuck it. We're watching Never Fucking Back Down.
You went from always backing down to
Never Backing Down. And apparently there's a sequel to Never Back Down.
Still not backing down?
Well, because you don't back down. So, of course, there would be sequels.
This is like the never-ending story part, too. You can't have the word never in your movie and then have a sequel to it.
Well, no,
because you're still never doing it.
You can't have never in your title and have it end.
That's what I'm... Oh, so this is a continuation.
Still not backing down. All I'm saying is they should have... The Neverending Story should have never had a credit sequence at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Then it never ended.
It cuts to black, like the last season of Sopranos.
Exactly. Just cuts to black. And so you don't know. Did it end or did they just run out of film?
That would have been very...
The story could be going on still.
That would have been high art for a 1980s audience. I think a lot of people would ask for their money back or complain to the projectionist. It would
have been like, first you watch me watch this horse die in the swamps of sadness. And now you give me this? No credits? Are you kidding me?
That's fantastic.
All right. So then we've also got our big live event coming up April 11th at the Cox Building Playhouse in Plano.
That's a Friday for you folks.
Movie and a podcast night. And we have listened to what you said based on the parameters that we set. But
that being a poll on our Facebook page.
We will be watching the Dolph Lundgren Masters of the Universe movie. This is going to be kick-ass because...
I'm excited, dude.
This was one of my favorite movies growing up, and I haven't watched it in a while.
Oh.
So I'm kind
of... I just downloaded it the other day.
Oh, did you?
I mean, I just purchased it legally from gonna, a retailer yes, yeah. the other day.
We've got the we have a Blu-ray copy that we're going to be shown high def.
I can't imagine what this movie looks like in high def. It looks shitty on VHS on a 12-inch black and white screen.
I can't wait to go and watch this movie, and I can't wait to share it with you, our listeners. Only $5. Come on out. We're going to have some entertainment beforehand. We're going to have some prizes, some goodies for you.
T-shirts.
I'm going to be going down to the store, and I'm picking up a bunch of fake plastic swords
nice.
For everybody to hold aloft and do the I have the power bit at the end.
Nice.
We've got T-shirts that we're making.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to get those printed out. Want to thank Duncanville Bookstore.
Yeah, sponsors.
We have a sponsor.
Hey.
Duncanville Bookstore, 101 West Camp Wisdom, Suite J, Duncanville, Texas. They sell comics, toys, and board games. They buy comics, toys, and various other pop culture memorabilia. So all you got to do, go on down there. If you got a whole bunch of stuff in your attic that you bought and you thought it was going to be worth a shit ton of money, and now you go to eBay and find out it ain't worth dick,
yep.
you could still go to Duncanville Bookstore. They might be able to buy it off you, and you can get trade or you can get cash. Andy and Brian, the guys out there, they're really excellent dudes to work with. If you want to call them up ahead of time and be like, hey, can you take this shit off my hands? Give them a call at 972-298-7546. You can also find them on Facebook. And they are going to be on site for our deal. They're going to be there. They're going to be providing a whole bunch of giveaway stuff. Brian was showing me pictures. If you've ever seen the Robot Chicken episode where they had like Molar, the Eternian dentist, taking the tooth out of Skeletor, they have a few sets of that.
What?
So I guess they're going to be bringing those. They're going to be bringing those to give away. We're going to do some door prizes. And we can't wait to see you out there.
Where can I find them online, Joe?
You could find them online at good lord,
I spring that on you.
Duncanville. Bookstore.com.
We're professionals, folks. Google Duncanville.
Jesus. Duncanville
Bookstore. That curveball.
Jesus Christ. Thanks, Joel.
Duncanville.
I think it's
Bookstore.
Just go to Facebook. Look up Duncanville Bookstore.
There you go. Or better yet, go to the Editing Bay Facebook page, because we're going to link to it from there, right?
Yes, and when we get our actual webpage up.
Let's do it.
Which
let's talk about
is
it.
In the making. Yeah, Joel, you're in the middle of doing our
Well, by the time this episode drops,
fingers
as they
crossed.
Say. yeah.
Oh, also, Duncanville Bookstore open 7 days a week.
Oh, thank you.
For all your comic book needs.
Can I talk about the fucking editing?
Fucking talk about it.
We got a new website. If you go to www.editingbay.com, it's not the editing bay, it's not edit bay, it's editingbay.com. editingbay.com. I can't be any more clear.
Sarah taught me how to do the www in French, and I can't remember.
Double
va or something like that.
Man, they make everything
sound so much better.
Oh my God.
You got to hear her when she talks in French.
I can't wait. Why are you sexualizing your girlfriend in front of me?
I'm not sexualizing anything. I'm just saying that she sounds amazing when she speaks in French.
All right, but I don't want to picture your girlfriend speaking in French.
I don't want you to picture my girlfriend doing anything.
Uncomfortable, that makes me feel.
Please stop it and talk about the website.
So we're going to have the website. It's basically going to be, you can subscribe to iTunes right from there. You can get to our Facebook page right from there. But you can also stream all the webisodes. Is that what we're calling them? Sure, why not? They're episodes on the web.
For the sake of this plug,
the
why not?
Episodes. And maybe a little learn a little bit more about your hosts, myself and Josie over here.
Uh-huh.
So that'll be up. Editingbay.com. Check it out.
Woo!
And, again, we'll link to it on the Facebook page.
We're becoming a legit force.
Right, dude? Now all we have to do is make money.
Now all we need to do is get somebody to take control of the fucking 8-bit gladiators.
Hey-o!
Right, John?
We got John in the studio.
He's just
coming up next.
Just waving. All right. So, do you have? Is there anything else? Do we need to hit anything else?
I think we've plugged enough.
All right. Cool. Well, thank you, Jeff,
yes.
for joining us on this to talk for 12 seconds about Down Periscope. So wonderful to have you back, sir.
It's nice to be back. And I should say, between now and the live show, we're going to have we're not going to skip a week. We're going to have an episode every week.
I haven't skipped a week.
Listen, my job takes me out. Joe, I'm a very important person. I'm not sure if you're familiar with
this. I don't want to hear any bullshit.
Realize.
He's like, we're not going to skip a week. Yeah, Luke and I were here last week, motherfucker.
That was a great episode, by the way. Check it out if you haven't
listened
to it.
And make sure you can check out all of our previous episodes on iTunes.
Yep,
and check us out again next week when we talk about Never Back Down. Until then, you can check it out on Netflix. Watch it for yourself. Form your own opinion so that way you can agree or disagree with us. For Joel, for Jeff, my name's Joe. This is The Editing Bay, and we'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
That's fucking gold.